Let's bring in the manager. Thrilled to be able to talk to Ricky Renteria today on White Sox Weekly. And, you know, Ricky, you get a lot of credit for being bilingual and you could connect with the Latin ball players speaking both languages. But I think what's also interesting is that you, of course, were a first-round draft pick and you played in the big leagues and then you had to go back to the minors and to the Mexican League and then work your way back. So there's a lot of ways that you can connect with guys, not just by the languages you speak. Has that been something that you've sort of used to connect with different guys like Daniel Polk and Matt Davidson, who have had their own trajectories, and these are guys that you're trying to help get the best out of?
Yeah, it is. I mean, definitely our paths all are different. I have had the opportunity to talk to a couple of guys over the course of the last few years about things like that, what our particular journeys are like, some of the comparisons, some of the parallels to them. I think at the end of the day, the biggest message for everybody across the board, whether you're a journeyman or an everyday player, is that you know, you can't blame anybody or anything for any particular outcome. You've got to go out and show everybody every day why you belong here. It is a privilege to be in the big leagues. It is a privilege to be, you know, putting on a uniform at any level in professional sports. But being in the major leagues, you want to make sure that you appreciate and understand that, you know, nothing is a given, and there are people always trying to take, so to speak, your job, but they're doing it just for the sake of wanting to help an organization become the best that it can be.
There's a lot to choose from, but what do you think is the best thing you've done for your team this season?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I think maybe just trying to keep them all loose, trying to keep them at the same time focused to do what they have to do. All of them have different levels of talent, obviously. We want them to maximize the talents that they have. We want to also be truthful with them and let them understand that there are things that can be improved upon in order to help them become better players individually and how it helps us in the big scheme of a team. So I hope we've tried to be honest and forthcoming, but at the same time very encouraging and motivating. And you guys all know, you've heard me say it, you know, motivation comes in different forms. It can be a pat on the back or a kick in the butt. I mean, it just depends on what the situation requires.
Yeah, so, you know, I do the post-game shows, and you guys, you started slow, and then you played a lot better baseball. And I've just always commented that you don't look like a team that's out of the race. You win a game in walk-off fashion. The guys look super excited. You lose a tough game. You're back the next day. So there's some level of juice that's going around the team that they're not paying attention to the record. They're more paying attention to the journey. Do you see that?
I do see that, but I think it's really important to understand that regardless of where you're at in the standings, when people come to see you play, you got to give them the best that you have. You know, the city and the South Side in particular deserves a good effort on a daily basis. They deserve to know that their players are preparing every day. The outcome may not be what we want it to be, but that they're preparing every day and trying to give them the best possible outcome based on how they go about doing their business. And I hope that's an attitude that they're taking on. Obviously, once you connect attitude, skill, and execution, you have a chance of creating something very, very fruitful, and hopefully that's the direction we're going in.
I'd like to ask you about this. I'm a big fan of instant replay. Yeah. The main thing is getting it right.
Correct.
And so I assume with instant replay, managers won't get tossed as often. But you've found a way, Ricky, to you know, get ejected more than most other managers. What is your secret?
I don't know that I've tried to do it, you know. It just occurs. I think that sometimes, you know, when you're talking about your players and what they're going through, I mean, I've been ejected much less this year. You know, I've had plenty of conversations with umpires over the course of the season. But there are some times when you feel like something's been, you know, there's an error in a judgment call or whatever the case might be, and you want to just state your case. I think sometimes, you know, maybe I go a little overboard and it allows them the opportunity to go ahead and, you know, kick me out of the ballgame, which they should. Rightfully so, but I think that, you know, we try to weigh everything and let them know that everybody is watching, including the managers, including the players, and that you know, there are times when the manager, I believe, as most managers I think believe, have to stand up for your guys, and you do to the best of your ability without, you know, compromising anything. And like I said, I've been trying to stay in the ballgame a lot more this year than I did last.
So there's we're hitting on a subject here of
unpredictability in my mind, where, you know, a parent, you want to be the nice guy, but you also, you better not cross me. There's that line where, you know, I that's not going to be okay. And I think that's maybe the same position in your spot as a manager. I'm going to be the good guy, but I'm a little bit unpredictable too. If you do the wrong thing, you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, I think that at the end of the day, I think they know what they're going to get. They just, you know, they're human beings. They're young men. They do things at times that they shouldn't do, or they react in certain ways that they shouldn't react. All of us with our time and experience know when we should be patient. We can be a little calmer. You know, it's like the parent and the child. You know, we know that the child might throw a tantrum and go through a tow phase, you know, but the parent has to be the calm one and the one that understands where they're going, and at the same time be able to explain certain things when you need to, and make sure that they understand what it is that you're what action you're taking with them. But I know that these guys know where I'm coming from. There's no doubt. I think they understand, you know, what we want to do, what we don't want to do, but they also understand that we're trying to get them to take a hold of that and own it. I don't want to be the one, you know, every single game wanting to talk to somebody about maybe not giving me an effort on a ground ball or a fly ball, or, you know, some of these guys in some instances are aching. They have some issues physically. I know what the issues are. The fans may not, but I do. And there might be a time when they go, geez, he's always pulling somebody when they do something like that, and they hasn't done it here lately. Well, because there might be other factors involved. And I think that those are parts of us, again, being the parent and the child, so to speak. But they're all grown men. They actually know exactly what's coming and where it's coming from, and it's from a good place. There's no malicious intent on my part for them. It's my desire and our coach's desire and the organization's desire for them simply to be the best they can possibly be and represent the White Sox the way we should be represented.
That whole throw a tantrum thing, Carm does that all the time.
Easy.
So if you had to pick one guy, one manager, that maybe you didn't even realize it until you became the manager, but one manager whose style, whose you know, the way you go about your business, you know, it sort of reminds you of him, a guy you played for, a guy whose staff you were on, which guy?
I that's a good question. I think that for myself, it's probably a conglomerate of many pieces of different people that I've played for. You know, in the minor leagues, I played for Johnny Lipon. I played for Tommy Sant for quite a few years, who was with the Pirates for quite a few years. I played for Joe Frosina, Woody Heike. I played for Leland. I played for Lefevre. I played for, you know, Dick Williams. All of them had different styles. All of them down deep, fiery. Some a little bit more patient. Rene Latchman in Miami. They all had different styles and different ways of communicating with all the players. I know that as I went through participating and being a part of any club that these guys were a part of, there were times when I would say, well, if I ever do this, I might do it differently, or if I would do it exactly the way he did it. I think we develop our own style. I think at the end of the day, I try to make sure that I'm able to communicate with the players, and I'm sure that there are many pieces of all those men that are a part of who I am right now. There's no doubt about it, and it's just different in different facets.
Ricky, let's talk about, you know, you obviously have to manage the game, but you're also managing 25 guys, and they all have lives outside of the park, and it's a long season. And you can see guys, I'm sure, showing up at the park, and maybe their mood has changed, and you perhaps don't know what's going on, you know, off the field. How much do you try to, you know, get yourself involved as far as learning the guys what they're doing away from the park and what's going on in their lives, so you can best support them on the field to be productive players for the White Sox?
Well, I think we do more than most recognize mood shifts. I think we pay attention to how their body language is being carried on a particular day. There have been many times when I've had conversations with any number of players over a course of a season, and you just have to, because you see a change and something might be going on, and you want to make sure that you address it. You want to make sure that they're doing okay first and foremost as people, and if there's anything off the field that's affecting them to the extent that it's going to affect how they go and do their job in between the lines, that you kind of get to the root of it as quickly as possible. But I do think that that's more of a touch, of a feel. I think all of our coaches have that. They've been around a long time. If I don't see something, maybe they bring something to my attention. Or if I notice it, I'll ask someone, one of my coaches, do you see the same thing I'm seeing at this particular moment? So that we can address it. And again, it comes from a good place. It comes from a desire to make sure that these guys are doing okay. As beautiful and as a privileged a place as this is to be in the big leagues, they're still human beings. They still have emotions and dealings, life, daily things every single day away from the field. We all understand it. We've all lived it. A lot of us have been in this a long time. So we get the ups and downs. It's a long season. We even get tired of each other. I'm sure these guys are ready to kick me out of the room. But we know that we live together as a family, and I know that's thrown around a lot, you know, the word family. But in family, it's not always just peaches and cream. You know, there's strife, there's struggle, there are things and situations that you have to deal with. And so I hope that we're dealing with the best way we possibly can, and that everybody is in tune with everything that's going on with the players that are on the field and all of us as coaches.
The man in charge of the White Sox, skipper Ricky Renteria, visiting for a few more minutes on White Sox Weekly with Mark Kerman and Harry on WGN Radio. Yesterday we found out that the Orioles will say goodbye to Buck Showalter at the end of the season, and Texas lets Jeff Banister go. There's only 30 of these managerial jobs. I don't know how well you know those guys, if you know them at all, but do you feel that when that is there like a loss in the force?
Well, you know, you're right. There aren't many positions like this available. I think just because it's one of the few positions that exist, that you do kind of get a sense of, you know, maybe a sense of loss. You understand that all the work that they put in, you understand all the things that go on in an organization, you understand that it's a part of the business. I certainly understand it. You know, I've also lived it. But it's not anything that, you know, you hold against anyone. It's just, it is what it is. I think at the end of the day, both those men will know that they look in the mirror and they've given it everything they've had to try to provide a quality service and a professionalism to those organizations. And they'll be able to walk away knowing that they gave it everything they had. I mean, that's all you can actually do. You can't lament it. It is what it is. But you certainly do, you know, I guess reflect. Maybe continue to learn from all those things that occur, like that just occurred. I didn't know that. But I'm sure they'll land on their feet quite well.
Do you know the one other person that's managed both the Cubs and the White Sox in the city?
It's been mentioned to me. I can't recall right now who it is, but I'm sure you know.
So, yeah, I do. Well, I do. I had to research it, though, so I don't get brownie points. Or Johnny Evers. I mean, we're talking the 1920s here, Ricky. And you get your first opportunity to manage with the Cubs, and I'm thinking when you get let go there, I think, I may never get this again. And then here you are managing the White Sox. It's an incredible accomplishment. It's really never been done outside, I guess, of Johnny Evers.
Well, I know that, again, you know, and everybody knows, it was a little bit of a blow. I know I didn't say a whole lot about it, and I still won't, but sure, it was a significant blow to me at that moment. All I could do is know that, and everybody should know that I felt like I did everything I could. I understand it, get it. You know, the move was made. No hard feelings on my part. I still have to go out and do what I'm going to do. Baseball has been all I've done since I was 18 years old, pretty much. You know, I've had other things. I can lay tile for you. I can play frame a house or something, but things of that nature. But this is what I do. And so if anything was going to come of it, it was an opportunity that was a great opportunity. And maybe because of that, it opened up more doors. And now here I'm on the south side as a White Sox. And very happy to be so, to be honest, and looking forward to be here as long as they want. And obviously I can't control that.
What does it mean when Hawk says on his farewell ceremony, the guy they have in the dugout, Ricky, is the right guy? I mean, it's his last weekend doing games here.
Oh, well, Hawk, we've had a lot of conversations over the few years that I've been here. Very insightful person. I know that he's very opinionated, has a lot to say. But he's a very, very intelligent man, and when you sit down, you're just simply talking baseball, of which we've had many conversations, whether it's hitting or just how you run people or how you deal with people. There's a lot of insight there. He's been around a long time. And, you know, all of us, myself included, I'm not perfect. We all have our faults and all the pros and cons of who we are as human beings and our flaws and what have you. But in the game of baseball, you know, when you listen to people talk who've been around a long time, it'd be foolish not to listen and pay attention to the advice and some of the insight that they can give you, because there's going to be stuff that you're going to be able to draw and use as you continue to move forward in the game and in life. And this is a very short window. Nobody's guaranteed a long existence in this. And so as long as you have it, do the best that you possibly can. Take in the advice that you can get. And you can get it from anywhere, by the way. and it still makes sense. It doesn't have to be from a baseball person, and it can still make sense in how you use it in order to deal with players and yourself as you move forward.
One more, Harry. You good?
Yeah, three real quick questions. Which player on your team reminds you the most of you?
Sanchi, and I think Sanchi's better.
Okay. Which player on your team is most likely to become a big league manager?
Maybe Sanchi.
Well, okay. And it would be a lot of pub. Be great for Carm and I if you said something about the Cubs, you know, because you said you didn't say anything at the time. Feels like there's more to get off your chest.
This is Harry, not me.
So just, you know, if there's anything. Yesterday had to feel better than an average win for you, right?
Well, listen, I'm a Southsider now. And to say that we're not trying to come in every day to give the fans on the South Side as good an effort as possible and give ourselves a great chance to win every single day would be a lie. We want to win. And we want these guys to do well. And in an inner-city rivalry, you know, our job is to try to, you know, go out there and do the best we can to come out on top. Nobody can deny that. I'm not going to deny it. Did it feel good? It felt just as good as it does any time you win, because winning does feel better than losing. And then the way these guys played yesterday, you know, hopefully we can repeat that, go about it. But, you know, two clubs are going out there to compete and try to win. And fortunately for us, we got the good side of it yesterday, and hopefully we get the good side of it today. But I'm extremely happy every time we win. And okay, it felt good to win against the Cubs yesterday.
Ricky, we really appreciate the time. Congrats on your success, and we're looking forward to 2019.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.